Well, today is World Quaker Day, and I'm sure many of you don't have that circled on your calendar. It's suggested by what is called the Friends World Committee for Consultation. And I've been doing these sermons on love, but I thought I would use the opportunity to go in a little bit different direction this morning. This group is called, again, Friends World Committee for Consultation, or FWCC for short. You can Google them and check them out. Their general purpose is listed this way: answering God's call to universal love. FWCC brings friends of varying traditions and cultural experiences together in worship, communications, and consultation to express our common heritage and our Quaker message to the world. So that's who they are. So for World Quaker Day, their theme is gathering in worship around the globe. And the idea was they wanted everyone to be mindful that today approximately, and there's 210,000 Quakers in the world, to be mindful that there are Quakers from different traditions and different countries gathering to worship. One Quaker put it this way, who wrote on their website, "As the sun rises in each area of the world, we remember that Quakers are worshiping through every time zone, celebrating our deep connections across cultures and Quaker traditions. We're united in love, and we accompany each other on this special day, draws us together as we worship. We hold each other in prayer and thanksgiving and let our hymns of praise resound across the world." So here's where I get a little bit queasy at times, to be honest. I get a little bit leery of these kinds of special days because they feel or can be a little bit sectarian. In other words, they run the risk of having a kind of inward focus and overemphasizing the particularities of one's faith tradition. And we have our particularities. If you've hung around Quakers long enough, we have kind of an alphabet soup that everyone has to remember: FWCC, FCNL, AFSC. And if we're not careful, we have our own little inside jargon that sometimes people may feel kind of excluded because they don't know what all that means. So it's a little bit tough sometimes to do these special focus days. And in reality, what I find too is when people gather, people are just trying to figure out how to make life work and find strength through another week. Folks are broken, they're fearful, they're lacking direction in their life. They simply want to know, first of all, how they're going to make it through this next week. Sometimes they're not really that concerned about what religious brand you are. Now, having said that, maybe this day can offer us a way to at least hold up the best of the Quaker way. And that's what I want to do, just for a few moments. You know, over the years, I've been in more conversations that I can count, which start with this phrase: I'm a Christian first and a Quaker second. And I've often been befuddled by that statement because I've never really considered it an either or. I've always considered it kind of a both and. The way I like to phrase it is this way: I am a Christian and I'm a follower of Jesus who seeks to live it out in the Quaker way. I think every spiritual journey is lived out through a particular framework. Every spiritual journey is lived out through a particular tradition. I have just chosen to do it through the Quaker tradition. I could have had other options, and I was thinking about that this past week when the first church I pastored — I didn't pastor it, actually. I was a youth pastor of a small Methodist church outside Taylor University. I got paid $25 a week, I think, and I was there about a year and a half. And in that year and a half, they fired two pastors. When they approached me to see if I wanted a pastor, I was like, nope, senior track record, I don't think I want to do it. Plus, I think I want to stay with the Quakers. I like the Methodists. They're good folks. I love this little church. They actually were very good for me as my formative years at Taylor University. And I could have gone with them. I looked at, quite honestly, their setup. I looked at their pension. Yeah. I looked at how they ran things, and it looked really good. But there was something in me that said, no, I embrace this tradition. I embrace this way called the Quaker way. And so we enter our spiritual journeys through a particular framework. And when I say tradition, I don't mean tradition in the way of something that is institutional and static, but I mean a framework that informs us through its values and through its lifestyle. Now, the beautiful thing about it is you don't have to be a card-carrying Quaker to worship and serve with us. You may be here just because we have free parking. I don't know. But you don't have to be a card-carrying Quaker to be and worship with us. All friends are welcome. The minute you come in this door, you're a friend. You, capital F, small f, but you are a friend the minute you come in this door. The bottom line is this. Are you a friend of Jesus? Are you living faithfully in the way of Jesus as your friend? Are you open to a personal encounter with Jesus and willing to follow Jesus in whatever way that takes you and whatever way that shapes you? I think that is the essence of what it means to live in the Quaker way. All jargon aside, all peculiarities aside, all the different ways we may use language, 10th month, third day, all of this. And by the way, if you use your hands to figure out what day it is, I do too. Don't worry about that. All of that aside, I think the essence of it is, are you and I friends of Jesus? In advertising, they often use what is called a tagline, a catchphrase or slogan that helps communicate the brand. So if I were to suggest a tagline for Quakers, it would be this: a simple faith for a complicated world. And I would reference Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 out of the Good News Translation, which reads this way: "This is all that I have learned. God made us very plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated." Now, if I could ask for an amen, as some of you were to say amen, some of you probably would, because I think that's true. God made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated. And on this World Quaker Day, I want to suggest that we are a group that is Quakers, uniquely called by God to offer a very plain and simple approach to God in a very complicated world. Now, when I say plain and simple, I don't mean quaint. I don't mean easy. I don't mean naive. What I mean is that in our tradition, we offer an uncluttered, stripped down to the essentials approach to God that we feel will result in an uncluttered, stripped down to the essentials kind of approach to life. A life that leads to abundance, peace, joy, a life that results in manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, such as gentleness, patience, self-control, kindness, a life that helps us make God's dream of peace and nonviolence a reality, a life that's no longer addicted to greed, hate, vengeance, lust, and materialism, a life, if you will, that is lived in intimate relationship with Jesus, a deep friendship, which results in a life that bears fruit. If you look around the room here, you'll notice that we don't have banners. You notice that we don't have symbols. And I say to folks to remind them, it's not that Quakers are anti-symbol. It's not that we're anti-banner. It's simply because Quakers have always taken the position, we want to have an unencumbered approach to God. We want friends to relate and encounter God directly, to not go through a symbol, to not go through a creed, to not even go through a person. That you can commune with God directly right where you are now or wherever you are. I think it's either fascinating, too, that they chose World Quaker Day on the same day that most liturgical churches have chosen World Communion Day. Because we as friends believe that you can commune directly with Christ wherever you are. Every moment of life is sacramental. Every moment of life is holy in that sense. My Methodist friend and author, Trevor Hudson, describes it this way. As an invitation to a transforming friendship, he writes this: when we enter into this divine friendship, we're drawn into God's greater dream for the healing of our lonely and broken world. We're created to become friends of God and to partner with God in making God's dream a reality in this world. Now, that feels like a funny phrase. We don't often use the phrase dream of God, but when I say dream of God, I'm referring to what the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, as described by Paul in his letter to the Romans in this very simple sentence, quote, "Living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." To live this plain and simple life, I think, is to live this life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when we do this, we partner, literally partner with God in helping to make this dream a reality in all the places we inhabit, in all the places we find ourselves in the coming week, all the places that we show up. And the complications of life often show up in our everyday existence, in our work, in our marriages, in our families, running errands, having conversations face-to-face or in social media. In many ways, it's my own condition that can complicate things. So the simplicity and plainness of this gospel, I always say, needs to first permeate my life. And then it can permeate the world. It needs to, as the Quaker phrase puts it, speak to my condition. Before I can bring something redemptive, healing, and life-giving to the world, I need to have experienced this redemptive, healing, and life-giving love of God in my life. I need to have had a direct encounter with the living Christ. And not just one time, but every day. In my personal worship, in my corporate worship, as I'm running errands, as I'm wrestling with my demons and my addictions, as the love of God in Christ can speak to my condition and bring healing and wholeness, then I bring to the world a life that is undivided and whole. What we bring to the world is what we are inside of ourselves. If I have a divided, agitated, out of sorts soul that lacks wholeness, I'm going to bring that to society. I'm going to bring that to everything I do. But if I have one that is on the mend, if I have one that is in the process of healing, becoming whole, if I have one that, as I like to put it, is being addressed specifically by the specialist, the living Christ, then I bring that to the world as best as I can. Now, it goes without saying, it probably feels as if we live in a very complicated world. A world permeated by violence, natural disasters, the threat of war, hunger, poverty, and constant political polarization. And I don't know if I missed anything, but I think that's enough right there. And in many ways, we have, as the writer of Ecclesiastes puts it, we have made ourselves very complicated. It is our lack of wholeness that contributes to this complicated world. The plainness and simplicity is not found in trying to tackle all the world problems at once. This plainness and simplicity is found in the various places in our life in which we can partner with God to make God's dream a reality. It's living out the basic essentials of the gospel without any clutter, without any glitz. You've heard me say this before, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I'll say it again. Elton Trueblood, who was a wonderful Quaker writer and instructor, used to say the Quakers can take the pomp out of any circumstance. And that is true. We do. We're not a flashy group. We've got no bling. We have no glitz. We are just plain and simple. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? It's anybody you happen to meet when you're walking around in society. Everybody is your neighbor. In fact, I would say this. Your neighbor is the person you would least expect to be your neighbor. We partner with God in helping make God's dream a reality. It's not overcomplicating the spiritual journey, and it's keeping it simple. It's pursuing forgiveness and reconciliation when relationships are broken. It's offering kindness when everything in us wants to offer rudeness and a piece of our mind. It's seeking peaceful solutions and common ground rather than exacerbating division and perpetuating arguments. It's treating everyone around us with dignity and respect because they're created in the image of God. It's getting past our fears and prejudices by seeking to understand others or getting to know their traditions and stories. It's living lives of integrity and authenticity rather than pretending to be something we're not just because we need to impress others and have impression management. It's valuing community and relationships and making ourselves vulnerable to one another rather than living self-sufficient, self-protected lives and cutting ourselves off from each other. In many ways, it's letting our yes be yes and our no, no, and speaking truthfully with one another from a simple place of grace. I was reminded this past week of how simple it is to partner with God when we follow our leadings, when we simply follow what God invites us to do. This past week, I think you all remember, we talked about Autumn saying to her friends, in lieu of gifts, bring money. I don't know if that's the way she put it, but that was the gist of it. So in lieu of gifts, friends contributed $115 toward the hurricane victims in Friendswood in Houston, because I think Autumn asked Dave and Kat, what's going on there? And she wanted to know what was happening and what was all this need. And so they explained to her, and she said, well, instead of gifts, have people bring money. Do I have that story right? So I posted that on Facebook, and would you know, Autumn got a matching grant of $115. So how old is Autumn?
Five.
So through a five-year-old's leading, $230 is going towards these folks in Friendswood Friends Church. It's really true what the Bible says, a little child will lead them. We often make it complicated. Autumn just said, oh, they need help? Forget the gifts. I think I'll just have people give money. I also think that's why the Bible says, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to do it like a child. He didn't say you got to do it childlike or childish. You do it like a child, innocent, empathetic, reaching out to those in need. Now, here's the thing, to be fair. Early Quakers and those that followed Christ in those early years were not spiritual doormats. They spoke truthfully and powerfully to the issues of injustice, and whether it was opposition to slavery, prison reform, better conditions and institutions that treated the mentally disabled, economic justice for all, even the right for women to vote. Even early friends like George Fox were known to interrupt a few worship services, for which they were often jailed because they felt the gospel was being misrepresented. These early friends did speak truth to power. They were not spiritual doormats, but here's the big caveat. This came from a deep spiritual center. It came from a place of deep discernment as to where God would have them go into the world and share God's love and peace. And maybe sometimes it's as simple as a little child just saying, I think they need help. But this is often what is referred to as the roots and fruits of Quakerism. They were careful to have their lives deeply rooted in the love of God and the living Christ. And out of that rootedness came their call to speak and act on the injustices in the world. I think it's fascinating that the word radical, if you look at that word and you unpack it a bit, the word radical literally means root, to come from the root. Early friends were radical in their faith. They were radical in their witness. They were radical in their testimonies because they were grounded in the rootedness of the living Christ. And they were careful to have their lives deeply rooted in God's love. One of the scriptures I keep tucked away in my heart is Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which reads, "The Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this, to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God." When I envision that, that's like a three-legged stool. You need all three to stand solidly in this complicated world. You need to show love, but you need to walk humbly with God, and you need to do what is just. You can't have one without the other. Now, to be honest, not everyone is going to be called and drawn toward activism and social justice, but we're all called. We're all called to become friends of Jesus. And I think we're all called to enter into this transforming friendship that my Methodist friend Trevor Hudson describes it. And it's within that friendship with Jesus that we'll discover, I believe we'll discover, this plainness and simplicity of the spiritual life within our everyday life as parents, as spouses, as professionals, as volunteers, as neighbors, as community activists, even as church members. In other words, we don't have to complicate it with creeds. We don't have to complicate it with institutional practices. Sometimes it's simply showing up in life as friends of Jesus and friends of our world. I've come to realize this, and I'll close with this. The Quaker way may not be for everybody, but I believe it is for somebody. The Quaker way may not be for everybody, but I believe it is for somebody. And all those somebodies are out there attracted and drawn toward this simplicity and plainness of this message in a very complicated world. Maybe not only for them, for the places in which they show up. My friend Phil Gully wrote a book a few years ago called Living the Quaker Way, and I'll close with his words. And his words resonate with me. My interest is not in growing the Quaker denomination. My passion is in growing a world in which peace, love, and justice reign. In the end, I'm not inviting you to a church, but I'm inviting you to a life. And I really like that. I'm not inviting you to a church. I'm inviting you to a way of life. And it's a way of life that follows Jesus, and it's a way of life that follows the way of love.